I'd like you to turn to 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 7. Last month, I spoke about agony, and this month, I'd like to talk about the agony of abortion. But before I do that, I want to go to two scriptures. Second Timothy 2:7, it says, "Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." The abortion topic is a rather serious topic, so I would ask you to consider the words that I say today, past this time. And the second scripture I'd like you to look at is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, I've been instructed to do this. It says, "But the goal of our instruction is love." The things I say today are with love in mind. I know there are people, maybe someone here who has had abortion, and I realize that's a difficult situation to be in, especially if you had this abortion and it was based on misinformation. A life was ended. That might not have been ended if you had known better. But the one thing I always say when I talk about abortion is that it is, or it is not, the unpardonable sin. It's something that we can find, or you can find, forgiveness for, like you can for other sins. So it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the road. So there is healing in Jesus Christ. So I offer that hope, if there is anyone in here who had an abortion or knows someone who has had an abortion. And I want to emphasize what I say today. I do want you to consider, and I also want you to understand that I speak these words in love. I think that it's very important that we understand that when we speak in love, we can't separate that from the truth. I was just talking to someone recently, and one of the things I kept stressing as they were stressing love, I said, well, you have to connect love with the truth. If you have to sacrifice truth in order to love someone, then you're not loving the way Christ would have us to love. So having said that, what I want to talk about is not so much the physicality of abortion. When I talk about the agony of abortion, I want to talk about the struggle against abortion. Last time up, I shared that the word agony has as its root word the word agon, which means to wrestle or a wrestling match. And I stressed then that I really believe God would have us be agonistes or wrestlers. And I want to talk today about the struggle, like I was saying, about against abortion. Which you might want to imagine as a wrestling match, an agony in that sense. And before I do that, like I said, I don't want to talk so much about the physicality, but I want to read some of the things I do believe about abortion, things that I've concluded after many, many years of pondering. And I like to submit them to your consideration, that after I've spoken them later in the day, you might want to think about the things I said. I believe the Bible affirms the humanity of the unborn child. If you would look in Luke 1, chapters verses 41 through 44, and Jeremiah 1:5, and Galatians 1:15, those are some scriptures I think speak to the humanity of the unborn, that God is engaged with us even as we are in our mother's womb. I believe that medical science confirms the humanity of the unborn. One thing I've stressed in the past, that at fertilization, the genetic code is present, and all that's needed is time, oxygen, and nutrition. And that fertilized egg will become a you or a me or someone else. So humanity is imprinted upon the unborn at their conception. Third, I believe that murder is when someone is killed that is not worthy of death. If you follow my logic, I believe that abortion is murder. And it's something that is a very, very choice if you make it, because a life is ending as a consequence. I believe that someone could present an abortion situation where I might hesitate, but that does not excuse the 53 million abortions that have occurred in America since 1973. Well over a million abortions a year. Continuing, I believe the body of Christ is to stand for the unborn because we are called to stand against evil. I believe that we are called to struggle with God and man to restrict and end abortion. I believe we are a media-driven society, meaning if the media doesn't cover it, then it's too unimportant to be bothered with. And think about that for a moment. The media has decided that the abortion issue is really a non-issue, and so we don't hear about it. We don't hear about a million people dying every year because of abortions. This past election season, it was hardly referred to at all. The media has chosen to ignore it, but we as Christians cannot follow the lead of the media. We have to continue on in the truth and continue our efforts to restrict and eventually to outlaw abortions. I believe, and I just said this, that Christians cannot allow themselves to be guided by the media when it comes to matters of truth. And I believe we are called to action. And what action we're called to do can vary in a lot of different ways. But one of the things I've done over the last several years is I've talked to a group of juniors and seniors at the school, and we have a pro-life action that we do every year at the end of January. And two of the things I really stress when I'm talking and preparing these kids for our pro-life action is that, one, there is a public square where controlling ideas compete and some become laws. And so one of the reasons why we go and push ourselves into the traffic area down in Harmer and make a statement for life is that we're trying to press in to the public square and let it be known that the abortion industry is still operating and thriving in America. And the second thing I stress with them is informed dissent. It's one thing to have a difference of opinion with someone, but I think it's much more valuable to take the time and the effort to become informed, to be able to not only say you oppose something, but to give reasons why. And so earlier this week, I spent a couple weeks of class time, in this preparation. And one of the students came to me. Her name was Natalie Marola. So Natalie, would you come down here, please? And you could stand. Well, this is going to have to go up. Is this an easy up? Hi, Natalie. And Tyler Knupp, would you come down here, please? He's another student of the academy. They're both seniors. I'm social media ignorant by choice. And so when Natalie came and was sharing with me this situation, it was an education for me. Now, for you, most of you, I'm sure you'll just go, okay, nothing new here. But for me, it was. And what happened was Natalie, I'm going to read this. She had this post she put on her Facebook page. Now, feel free to correct me if I use the wrong lingo. It's sort of a status report, and this is what she posted. All righty. As we further venture into learning about abortions, I become more passionate about it. Reading from the pamphlet, She's a Child, Not a Choice, it states some of the misleading terms used for abortions, such as saying goodbye early, finishing a miscarriage, or one that really gets me angry, humane abortion. For those who know the gruesome actuality that is an abortion, you know the term humane abortion doesn't even make sense. There's nothing humane about killing an innocent child. 53 million abortions have taken place, 1.2 million a year. If you aren't educated in what an abortion is, I would do so. Know what it is, and if you agree with it, get re-educated. If you are against abortion, help me make others know of this horrific action taking place. And so this is like a hook, a baited hook just cast out into the web. And then there are hits. You know, the fish come, and they make hits. And so she was telling me this, and a dialogue was started. Now, this is the public square. This is the way it's working. This is in the social media realm, but it is the public square. Controlling ideas are coming, and they're competing with one another, and hopefully there's change for the good. So, Natalie, what we're going to do is read through this dialogue, this exchange. It involved Natalie, it involved Tyler, it involved a Mr. X, who I will represent, who was pro-abortion, and another student who couldn't be here. His name's Bobby Wilson, and I'll also be Bobby Wilson. So I hope this isn't confusing. I'm not arguing for the logic of Mr. X. I'm just reading what Mr. X said. So please don't throw anything at me, all right? Now, is he 17, 16, 17, 18? Yeah, something like that, okay. So here we go, point one. I'm Mr. X. I don't see anything wrong with abortion. Now, remember, he had just read this post. Though I'm a guy and will never have to have one, abortions give doctors jobs, and everyone deserves to have a choice. So I personally don't see anything wrong with abortion. Okay. Natalie, your response.
You don't see anything wrong with killing an innocent child.
Tyler, your response.
Does someone have the right to kill you? What difference does it be whether a person is in the womb or not?
Natalie.
Do you know how an abortion happens?
Mr. X. So if a woman gets raped or raped by family, she should go through the childbirth. Now, I have to make comment here. Usually when you talk to someone about abortion, these are the first things they bring up. I don't want to get into the stats too much, but rarely does an abortion occur because of a rape, incest, or the health of the mother. 98-99% of the 53 million have been done for other reasons, non-therapeutic. But that's the first thing you'll hear about, as sort of a way of blowing smoke into your face, because they don't want to deal with the 52 million that had nothing to do with this. So here he goes. I'm not finished reading that. See if I can get that done here. Okay, so if a woman gets raped or raped by family, she should go through childbirth. Tyler.
That's 1% of abortions, and how does murdering someone make up for the sin of another person? Which is worse, murder or rape?
Natalie?
Yes, she could put that child up for adoption. The emotional pain of rape is worse than the emotional pain of, or the emotional pain of an abortion is worse than the emotional pain of rape.
Okay, and here's Mr. Wilson. Abortion is not only murder, but the physical and psychological, the health of the mother is often damaged, leading to severe depression, a 60% chance of breast cancer, and 3 times the chance to commit suicide. 2 lives are at risk, not just one. Notice the information that he's sharing, everybody. I'm Mr. X now. Abortion should definitely be legal. We all have choices regardless. What if the baby has a disease and dies during childbirth? What if there is 0 chance for survival? Same thing. What if adoption isn't an option? Differences between murder and abortion, you can throw out all the stats you want, but until you come across or know somebody that had to face that decision, it's all meaningless. Natalie.
Adoption is always an option. It's not all meaningless.
Tyler.
How are stats meaningless? Stats are a recording of what actually happens.
Okay. Mr. Wilson. Well, I do know someone who was contemplating abortion. She decided to keep the child, and it was the best decision of her life. If the baby has diseases or a bad chance of surviving, aborting is putting the blood on your hands. That's now a murder and something you will have to live with the rest of your life. Natalie.
Okay, if the child has a disease, they are the child of God and deserve life just as much as me or you. That should make you want to take care of the child and nurture him even more because he is sick. As a parent, that is your job.
Okay, point four by Mr. X. You just compared the election to abortion stats. That's apples and oranges. One is a contest, other is a raffle. And who will adopt an unhealthy inbred child in those cases? It's good for the economy as well. We live in America and we have choices. He's big on choices. Plus, religion is irrelevant. Many people do not believe in God, so God says rape is allowed, but abortion isn't. I'm not arguing for their logic here. I'll read that again. So God says rape is allowed, but abortion isn't? Mr. Wilson responds, God never said rape was allowed. You big dumb, no, excuse me. Natalie?
Neither are allowed.
Neither are allowed. She brings some wisdom to the table. Tyler?
Abortion clinics are state-run. They don't affect the economy. And no, sorry, you do not have the choice to kill. The first statement in the Declaration of Independence is that people have the right to life. It's not your choice.
Declaration of Independence. Huh? Not bad. Now it's really getting heavy.
Did I say generation?
Pardon me?
Did I say generation?
I didn't. Okay, how do I respond, or how do I recover from that? The Declaration of Independence. I have to turn the page. Natalie.
I just don't understand how one could even have to contemplate murdering a child that they are carrying. Whether you believe in God or not, as a human, how can you murder anything, let alone a child?
Point five from Mr. X. Who's to say an imaginary person designed to put people in fear of sin, he's referring to God, who cares that God, what God has to say? If you don't believe in one, you should live your life based on your own values. It's not illegal, so there's nothing wrong with it. Now, he just made a big mistake there. When he said, it's legal, there's nothing wrong with it, that hit a hot button. So here we go. Here's the response. Natalie.
What's legal isn't always moral.
Tyler.
Just because it's legal doesn't mean it's moral. And hey, man, you have your choice. You have complete right to believe that. I'll be judged one day for my beliefs. You'll be judged for yours.
Mr. Wilson, during the 16th, 17th, and 1800s, slavery was legal. Does that make it right? And so I've told the kids in class, laws aren't always moral. You can have something that's illegal, an act that's legal, and it be immoral. And unfortunately, so many people believe just because it's legal, it's right, it's moral. And that's not true. So I applaud their response to his making that statement. I sort of lost my... Oh, okay. Tyler, I think we're back to you now.
Mm-hmm. Women had no rights according to legality back in the day. Legally in Germany, Hitler could kill all those Jews, but it's all legal.
In Nazi Germany. I love what Natalie... How she just... gets all emotional, and she makes this declaration.
Your mom was pro-life.
She was bringing it home. And then the last point for Mr. X. I've never met Mr. X. I have a feeling he's symptomatic, of America in a lot of ways. There's something called postmodernism out there, and it's simply the notion that truth is relative. You should go out and find your own truth, that God is an illusion, that some who are really into this postmodernism might say life itself is an illusion. Overtones of Hinduism that came into America in the 60s and 70s has borne fruit in our culture, and they call it postmodernism. So listen to what Mr. X has to say. Abortion, it's not murder. Shooting up a school is murder. That's where your morals are. We all have different morals. Who are you to say what is immoral? It's your choice. God isn't real. And not everybody had slaves back then either. Don't change the subject. If you ask me, Hitler and God are the same person. That's the relativism that's drifting through our culture. And I ended the conversation there. I thought they did an excellent job. That's what I'm looking for, informed dissent. They took the time to actually listen to what I was saying, at least some of it, and they actually took the time to read and answer some questions and tried to assimilate some of that information so that when you go out into the public square and you state an opposition to a view, it's so important as Christians to take the time to do the homework and learn some stats, some facts, to hopefully win the day. I think there are a lot of people that have just absorbed the legalization of abortion. They really don't have any reason. And if you take the time to call them on it and have them think about what they're agreeing to, then I think there are a lot of people that would change their minds almost immediately. Now, you're going to find some hardcore out there, and you say what you have to say, and then you depart, depart from one another. But the point there would be that you've spoken the truth. You've given them some biblical truth, and you've given them some medical truth, and they're in a better state than they were before they spoke with you. And maybe someday that will all work in and we'll win the day there. Change is from the inside out, and it's one by one. And we're in a time in the abortion issue where I guess we'll call it a funk. There's just not the zeal that maybe was there 10 years ago. But that doesn't matter. We're Christians. We're called to the truth. And we're called to speak the truth in love. And this abortion issue is a tragedy. It's a genocide. It's a serious, serious sin. I have something called equivalent evils that I talk to the kids about. I believe chattel slavery and abortion on demand are equivalent evils. And we look back to the time of slavery and think, well, how could they tolerate such a thing? And I always say to the kids, how do we tolerate this abortion that's going on, this killing? 1 million people being killed every year. How do we tolerate that? But we do. But there is a way, a plan of action. Abraham Lincoln, when he went about trying to abolish slavery, he recognized, okay, it's the law of the land, we tolerate. But then he began to discourage the slavery industry. And then he began to try to restrict it and eventually to abolish it. And I think in America, we're somewhere in the step 2 and 3, where we're out there, we're trying to discourage it. And in some states, there have been attempts to limit the abortion, to put some sort of restrictions on it. But the fight is far from over. And what I'm trying to illustrate today is get informed, get involved. Tuesday is the anniversary, the 40th anniversary of the Supreme Court decision that legalized abortion in America. Like I said before, what you do, there's so many different ways to make a stand for life, and not just on that one day. I would encourage you, if you have an hour free on Tuesday about lunchtime, to come to the school and you can go down with us to the intersection here on 28 and where the Giant Eagle is, and take a stand for life. You know, get out there into the public square. And what's going to happen is to encourage you to consider what I say or have said, these are these pamphlets that the kids had to read and answer questions on. They're loaded with information. I'm going to ask Tyler, I'm going to ask Natalie, and I'm going to ask you to take one. So they're going to pass them out. You can do that now. And while they're doing that, I have a few final points to make with regard to the seriousness of the abortion issue. I'm going to give you some choices. You know, once I get done with these scriptures, I'll explain, give you some direction as far as these pamphlets and what I'd like you to do. But the first scripture I like to read, it's in Proverbs chapter 6, Starting in verse 16, it says, there are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. I think you know what I'm referring to there. A second scripture, it's in Isaiah chapter 1. In the first verses of the chapter, it's describing a people who once were God's people, and they have drifted, and though they still have the outward forms, the buildings, the sacrificial system, the holidays, the feast days, God finally says to them, enough. All that religious pomposity, I'm not interested in it. And in verse 14, he says, I hate your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts. They've become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. What is the status of America today? I'll let you figure that out. But 53 million babies is a lot of babies to have killed over a 40-year period. And I think in America, we'll talk in generalities, there is blood on our hands. And to the degree that the church does not take up the fight against abortion, the struggle against abortion, to that degree, we have blood on our hands too. And I get concerned that if the media drifts away from abortion, the church will too. And that's one of the reasons why I come up here, just to remind you every year, this is still going on. Do something. Do something on Tuesday. Do something a week from Tuesday, a month from Tuesday. Try. Pray. I think one of the things we have to do to defeat this evil is to struggle with God, to engage God, and cry out to him, like it says in Matthew 6, 9 and 10, the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil, O Lord. Deliver us from this evil. This is not restricted to just a human action. We need God to go before us and defeat this evil. It's so vital to the future of our nation. The shedding of innocent blood is something that God hates. And it seems to communicate here in these scriptures that a nation that tolerates that type of killing will not remain a nation for long. We need God to heal our land. And so the last scripture I'd like to share is in 2 Chronicles. You probably are very familiar with it. And it's interesting in verse 15 or 14, the initial words are, my people. God calls out to his people. And my people who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered to this place. So I don't want to see the church drift into darkness. I want the church to stand for the truth. And to stand for the truth and love. I have a lot of compassion for people who are in situations where they think abortion is an option. And I don't want to belittle that. But I don't think killing the child is the answer. There are other options. There is adoption. There are other ways to handle these difficult situations than killing the unborn child. But my appeal is to the church, and this church in particular, that we not allow abortion to drift off our screen. And we look for options. It could be something like what Natalie did. You just write up a little hook, bait it, and cast it out into the internet and see what you catch and engage people. It could be something that, I guess it would be obvious to you, it wouldn't be obvious to me. It could be that something that simple. But what I'd like you to do with these handouts, you have a choice. I'd like you to read them. You know, a lot of the things I've said are echoed in these pamphlets. It's going to take time, but I think the abortion issue is well worth the time. If you don't think you will read it, I want you to give it to someone who you think will read it. And if neither of those options apply, then I would like you, when you leave, just to leave that pamphlet right at your chair so we can collect them and pass them out to someone else who will read them. So I'm giving you a homework assignment. I tease the kids. I say, I am the teacher thief. I take your time. But what I do, I give you something far more valuable. I give you knowledge. They don't always receive that word, but I am the preacher thief today. I'm taking your time. I'm challenging you to read this and to generate informed dissent so that God would deliver us from this evil. So you have three choices, and we don't have a camera, so you don't have to worry. We're not going to track you. Let's pray. Father, in these troubling times, it's so wonderful to be able to come to you with confidence and boldness to your throne of grace. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus made a way that we don't need to struggle with hopelessness, Lord, because our hope is in you. Lord, deliver us from this evil. Heal our land. Give us a vision, Lord. Give us a strategy. Help us, Lord, to do our part to end abortion. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Natalie. Thank you, Tyler. You were great.